Man, it's so good to be here. It's so good to celebrate all the life that we've been celebrating. And today's message is going to be slightly different. And I'm hoping that every single one of us is going to see that HBC is not just this thing that happens, but rather it is part of a way bigger picture of what God not only did 3 weeks ago at HBC, but of what God is still doing, and we can still be part of that picture. Now, one of the things that we at Riverside are always trying to watch in our own hearts and make sure that we're not falling prey to this is just working hard against a static idea of church. And to kind of try and explain that, I know, and for those of you who know me, you're going to just groan because I always talk about fishing. And I want to talk about fishing again today, but with a different application. And the reason why I want to bring this up is because my father was born in the Transkei. All my family is in the Transkei, now the Eastern Cape. And so he grew up going to the Wild Coast and fishing. I grew up going to the Wild Coast and fishing. And now my kids are growing up learning to enjoy the Wild Coast for what it is. Now, where we go, there are no hotels, there are no shops. In fact, there are no roads. And so there's cows on the beach to keep you company, but there's pretty much no one else, all right? Which makes it, as far as I'm concerned, makes it awesome, all right? And so here's the thing. There are no tarred roads that get you there. There's not even graded roads that get you there. The last 10 kilometers or so are pretty much tracks. And when you get to this part of the Wild Coast, it's like a lucky packet. How are we going to get to our destination? Because the roads change every single year. You see, what starts to happen is someone with a nice big 4x4 starts a new track. And then someone else goes, oh, that's a good way to go. And then someone else takes that track. And then someone else takes that track. Until eventually it just looks like a well-used road. But then over time, as more and more people start to use that track, because of the road use and the soil erosion, just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Some of these are higher than the heights of the car. Now, because of the continued use and because no one else is starting new roads, what eventually starts to happen is that these roads become dangerous. They can fall in, they can expose rocks, and they can get filled with water, and so you can get stuck in these roads. And I think that's a metaphor for what I'm trying to get at with church, is that what was once maybe a well-used road, what was once maybe a path to life, and more people took this path and more people went this way. Eventually, over time, that path gets deeper and deeper to the point where it gets dangerous and we can get stuck in how we do church. And so there are a couple of mindsets that I think are dangerous for us to adopt that are going to increase the odds of us getting stuck when it comes to church. And one of them is this idea, and for those of you who are part of our church, you've heard us talk about this all the time, this idea that church is just a building. Now, of course, many churches have buildings. We hope to have our own building, Lord willing, one day. All right, we happen to meet in a building called a school. And I know, I mean, we live in Brackendowns, Brackenhurst, and so we can say, well, there's the NG Kerk, and there's the Methodist Church, and there's the Baptist Church, and we're pointing to buildings. But when we start to believe this idea that church is the building, then the danger is, well, I arrive at the building, then we have church, and then I leave the building, and therefore I leave the reality of church behind. And if that's how we think about church, we're going to get stuck. Another common thought, another road that is overly traveled that's going to lead us to get stuck is when we start to believe that church is simply an event. Now, a number of months ago, some friends and I, we went out to the Barnyard Theater and we went to an event. And here's the thing, you pay your money and you expect a certain level of excellence and a certain quality to the food. You enjoy the event and then you leave the event behind and you go home and you carry on with life. And many of us get stuck thinking church is the event. So we arrive at church on a Sunday. We experience the event, we consume the event, we watch the performers on the stage, maybe we maybe even pay our dues, we go home, we critique the event, but we leave the event behind.
And that's going to cause us to get stuck. And so when we look at the biblical idea of church, they don't talk about church as building. They don't talk about church as an event. Rather, a number of different metaphors are used. And the most common metaphor, and the one I'm going to talk about today, is the idea of church as the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The idea of the body of Christ is that every single one of us is a part of this body. And we see that in this verse here that says, now you, this is plural, you, I can point to every single one of you. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And so some of us are the hands, some of us are the feet. We all play different roles. Every single one of us contributes to what it means to be the body of Christ. But I think some of us, once again, we default to a static view of even the body of Christ. But that's more like a cadaver, right? The hands are there, the feet are there, all the organs are there, but there's no life. And that doesn't represent the body of Christ. Maybe some of us, when we think about church, we're not a cadaver. There's a little bit of life there, but we're like a couch potato body. The organs are working, the brain's kind of going. We're stuffing ourselves full with KFC and pizza and a whole lot of Coke, but we're not actually a thriving body. And so when the scriptures speak about a body, we're thinking about an active body, a thriving body, a body that's full of life, a healthy body, a body that gives life, an active body. And so as we think about ourselves as a body, this verse says that we are, and the whole chapter talks about us being united by the Spirit of God and empowered by the Spirit of God. This is a bit of a throwback to a verse that we've looked at a number of times in this series. By the way, we're doing a series called Unstoppable. It is on the unstoppable work of the Holy Spirit. And we've already looked at Genesis 2 verse 7 a number of times, which describes this moment of God creating humanity where he forms man. And so there is this body, and then he makes man alive by breathing his own life, his own spirit into the body. And now suddenly this body becomes a living being. And we've seen how this is a picture that images the church. That we are this body that God breathes his life into. That every part of the body is united by his spirit, by his life. And every part of the body is animated by his life and led by his life and empowered by his life. And so one of the things that we need to think about as a church, as a body who wants to be a thriving, healthy body of Christ, is, well, what are we here for? And there's a number of ways we can answer this question. But if we look at a great chapter, we don't have time. I'm just going to summarize this. Galatians chapter 5, if we think about the body of Christ with God's Spirit in us, it gives us a number of verbs that describe how we relate to God's Spirit. Verse 16 talks about walking with the Spirit. Again, see the body idea, walking with the Spirit. Led by the Spirit, verse 18. Living by the Spirit, verse 25. And keeping in step with the Spirit, verse 25. Once again, noticing that these are all verbs that make sense when we think of ourselves as a body. Now, there's two ways to think about these four verbs. The one is to think about me. That me, Stephen, I need to live by the Spirit. I need to be led by the Spirit. I need to walk by the Spirit. I need to keep in step with the Spirit. But one of the things that we see when we look at the grammar of, sorry for the kind of language lesson, but when we look at the grammar of chapter 5, every single time it says you, it's not you singular, it is you plural. This is where Americanese helps us, where it says y'all. Y'all must be led by the Spirit. Y'all must keep in step with the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. And so not only is it incumbent upon every single one of us as individuals to learn to live the Spirit-led life, but we as a church, as a body, we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean for us to be led by the Spirit? What is the Spirit doing? How do we keep in step with the Holy Spirit? And that's what today is going to be about. Some of you may remember the Henry Blackaby course, Experiencing God. And this is what he says in this. He says, we don't choose what we will do for God. He invites us to join him where he wants to involve us. In other words, as a church, we don't say, well, we're going to carve our own path and ask for God to bless it. We don't do our own thing like a chicken without a head running around. Rather, if we're going to keep in step with God's Spirit and be led by God's Spirit, one of the questions we're going to ask is, where is God at work? What is God doing so that we as the body of Christ can keep in step with what God is doing and be led into what God is doing and experience the life of what God is doing? And so I just want to just deposit into our hearts. And I know some of you are Riversiders, some of you are maybe because of HBC visiting us from different churches, and some of you maybe don't have a church that calls your home, that you can call home. But as we try and ask and answer this question, what is God doing? And for us as a body, where is God leading us? I pray that God stirs something in you. And I pray that something in you goes, yes, that is what God is doing. And yes, we are going to align ourselves so that we can be in step with what God is doing. And so I want to talk about two areas that I believe God's Spirit is at work and he is inviting us to join him at work. And the first one is this. God's Spirit is inviting us to experience him in a real, empowering, and transformative way. Now, this is not new news to most of us at Riversiders. This is something that God placed on the heart of us as leaders right at the beginning of the year, recognizing it is so easy to go static. It is so easy to get stuck. It is so easy to play church. It is so easy to go to church and not be the church. It is so easy to get tired with religion. It is so easy to see the world as more attractive than God himself. And so what we need is not to try harder. What we need to is encounter God's Spirit. And so we did that series called Restored, where we recognize that God meets us in our brokenness, in our places of vulnerability. That is how Jesus modeled the presence of God to us. And many of us experience the presence of God in such powerful and healing ways. This series called Unstoppable, once again, is leading us in the same direction. If God's Spirit is his power and his presence, how do we move into his power and presence in a deeper way? How do we encounter God in a real way? A verse we quote all the time, Psalm 34, verses 8. How do we taste and see that the Lord is good? And it's not just a theory. It's a lived experience. To go back to last week, how do we not just know with our minds that God loves us, but how do we wake up knowing how deeply loved we are by our Father in heaven? How do we not just pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father? How do we wake up knowing that God is for me, that he is my loving Father and I am his beloved child? But that starts to sink in when we encounter God. And what's been so amazing for us as leaders is to see how in big ways and small ways, one person at a time, we're starting to see what God is doing in our lives. And for some of us, it's been kind of like the sun coming up in the morning, where there's just slowly, there's more and more light, and there's more and more light until eventually you feel the warmth of the sun on your face. And for some of us, that's what this year's been like. There's been no single moment, but just week on week, and if you're part of a life group, week on week in life group, it's just like there's a little bit more light. There's a little bit more light until we realize, wow, 6 months ago, I was in a very dark place, and I'm starting to experience the light of God's presence on my life. Some of us have had more radical encounters with God. Some of us have had God just meet us in precious ways and in vulnerable places with our pain and our hurt, bringing light and life, just breathing hope into our hearts. Some of us have experienced God's healing power in relationships, in our pains, in our fears, in our anger. Some of us have even experienced physical healing this year. And so this is something that God is doing. This isn't just a good idea, a way to get us excited as a church. We believe God initiated this. And we're starting to see him come through for us. The sad truth is, just like those tracks in the Transkei, some of us like the old ways. Some of us just want to go to a building. We just want an event that's not going to ruffle too many feathers, something that's neat, something that's predictable, something that's comfortable. I feel good about myself because, hey, God, did you notice I went to church and then I leave the church, I leave the events, and I try to be a good person during the week. Some of us, that's what we want. And you know what? That's going to stop you experiencing the reality of what God is inviting us towards. Let me tell you, this gets messy. Because God doesn't want our false perfection. He wants us to come to him desperate, but he wants to breathe such light and life into our lives. And listen, before I move on to the second point, we need this. Think about the alternative. Think about what happens if we have another year without experiencing the truth of God, the reality of God's presence and his love. Where's that going to lead us? Well, it's not going to take too long for you to see through it all and realize, gee, I've got better things to do with my time on a Sunday. If all church is I go to this event, sometimes there's load shedding, sometimes it's cold, Stephen's always yelling at us, I've got better coffee at home, it's warm at home, I can sleep in, I can play golf, I can do whatever else I want, because everything else is going to seem like a better option. The other alternative, and it sounds so weird, is that what develops in our hearts is a religious spirit, meaning we start to love the thing more than God. We start to love just my experiences. We start to love my preferences. We start to love even church more than God. And you know where that leads us? It leads us to very dark, hypocritical, cold places. And so if we don't experience the renewing presence of God, that's where we're going. And guess what that does for the next generation? Right? And so we need this. There's an invitation for every single one of us to yearn, to taste and see that the Lord is good. The second area I want to speak about is something that I think has been growing in us. And this is where it starts to intersect with what we've been celebrating this morning. And I know this may sound vague, but I believe something that God's Spirit is leading us towards so that we can keep in step with him is that God's Spirit is strengthening faith and family in a new way. And I mean that in two ways, the family unit as well as church as family. And I want to speak about both of those. So let's firstly talk about the family unit. You see, God knows what all good research knows, and that is the family unit is the most basic building block of society. And as goes the family unit, so goes society. Now, here's the thing about family. There is no perfect family sitting in this room. So family is hard. Family is complicated. Family is a place where we experience deep pain and deep loss. And maybe you're sitting there feeling condemned because your family doesn't represent a typical, stereotypical, perfect family. Because let me tell you, that doesn't exist. But if we just look at our own families, we look around us, and even if we look at the families in Scripture, family's hard. And then we have where culture is leading us. Now, you guys know me by now. I'm not one of these devil behind every bush kind of leaders. But I believe that there is a work in culture that is satanically driven, that is seeking to disembowel families and cut us off at the knees and break us apart, because as goes the family, so goes the culture. So we need God's help. We need God's Spirit to do a work amongst us. Now, in our first sermon in the series, we looked at the Spirit of God in creation and just defining the role of the Spirit. And one of the things that we've seen becomes a theme of the work of the Spirit, that the Spirit brings life and light out of darkness. That is what He does. And He brings order out of chaos. And so, yes, maybe some of our families feel like dark places. And maybe some of our family situations and our marriages feel like chaos. But God is the God who brings order out of chaos and light and life out of darkness. And God is stirring something among us. So I want to read Joshua 24, verses 15, as a bit of a visionary verse for us here that says, "But if serving the Lord," he's speaking to these Israelites, "if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Are you like, "Stephen, what's the Euphrates and the Amorites? What's that got to do with us?" It's pretty much a culture around us. We're going to have to decide as family units, who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the gods of culture, sex, money, and power? And are we going to be defined by sex, money, power, and pleasure? Not that God is necessarily anti us enjoying Him and the good things that He's given us, but when those become gods in our lives, we suddenly find ourselves slaves to these things. And so the question before every single one of us, are we going to stand and going to go, regardless of where culture goes, we are going to choose to serve God? That is something that we have to absolutely decide on conviction. There's an incredible book that often we find ourselves speaking about as a staff called Faith at Home, written by a guy called Mark Holman. And he says, ultimately, the way your family functions and whether it even survives comes down to choosing whether you're going to do life God's way or the world's way. Now, I believe this idea of God's Spirit breathing into families in the area of faith to strengthen us is something He is doing. One of the things that we as a staff team and we as a leadership team have been praying about and talking about and discussing and doing research about for months now is this whole area. And what we're starting to realize, the more we talk, the more we think, the more we pray, the more we research, this is not just something that we're doing. We're starting to discover week on week, this is something God's doing. And every time we talk and every time we pray, we see God's fingerprints over all this, especially here at Riverside Community Church. Now listen, do we have all the answers yet? Do we know where we're going? No, we don't. But we do know that God is beginning to stir something in us as a church, as a body. And we need Him. We need Him to strengthen our families. We need Him to heal our hurts. We need Him to restore us. And I believe in the years to come, we're going to see God doing great work in our families. But I spoke earlier, it's not just the family unit, but this idea of church as family. We see this language all over the New Testament. In fact, Jesus started it by saying, he's talking to the crowd there. He says, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Now, of course, he had his family unit, mom and brothers. But he says here, pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and here are my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." Jody read from Ephesians 3 just now. Earlier on, Paul's got the same idea. It says this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." We all call God Father. Now, if we all call God Father, what does that make us? "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derive its name." And in the New Testament, we just see
people referring to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, spiritual children. And so the church is not only a place for families to thrive, but for families to come together and experience the church as family, and for those who maybe don't have a stable family unit, whether there's been divorce, whether something's fallen apart, whether there's loneliness, whether there's singleness, for every single person to come together and, in the truest sense of the word, for this body of Christ to be their truest family. And once again, I believe God is already doing this. We're not only, if we think about these kids that were just shouting and making an awesome noise just now, they're not just other people's kids, they're all our kids. That leadership team, they're not just other people's teenagers, they're all of our teenagers. That in the truest sense of the word, and to be honest, eternity is going to show this up for what it is. That when I say I'm your brother and you are my brother and you are my sister, that is the truest thing I can say about our relationship. Jody's already pointed out that probably more so than any other year we've done HBC, it wasn't just a bunch of teens and a bunch of kids having a good old time. But man, there was this beautiful picture of the family of God coming together. What the New Testament calls the household of God. And so what Craig refers to as these less young people. We had other people helping out at HBC, which were even less young. All right, and we're celebrating in the church. I mean, right there at the back, we've got the youngest of the young. And what we saw at HBC was the church coming together. The generations serving together. The generations worshiping together. That time that Craig spoke about where that song was playing, it wasn't just the teenagers jumping up and down. There was people of all ages worshiping God together, serving each other. Do you know that God's Spirit is given to teenagers as well? Do you know that God can use a teenager or a child to minister to you? Not because of their wisdom, but because of who God is. And we can reciprocate that and do that together. You know who's doing our media today? Is our youngest teenagers. It's amazing. We had a youth service a couple of weeks ago. We once again, let me tell you, and some of you maybe come from these kinds of churches, when the youth have a youth service, the rest of the church watches like this. What are these young whippersnappers going to try and do today? And you know what I saw at Riverside? Joy. Young people, kids. Cesare was preaching. I heard Judah is about 2 years old asking his mom questions about Cesare's sermon. Just being together, being the family of God. In the subsequent weeks, I know it's been holidays. We haven't had kids ministry. But we've had some incredibly beautiful moments where many families, sometimes for the first time, are worshiping God together. Where moms and dads are on their knees with their children praying together in church. Beautiful story. I'm not going to mention names, but we had this moment where Vernon challenged us, or Christy, I can't remember, a couple of weeks ago, just turn to the person around you and just pray for them. Father and son. Dad, I don't know what to pray for you. Why don't you just ask God to show you what you must pray for me? And he did that. And this little boy prayed for his father here in church. Kids aren't just these irritating things that we need to put somewhere else. Okay, sometimes they can be, let's be honest. But so can you, all right? And so can I, all right? We're a family. And God is starting to show what this can look like. That youth service, we had kids on the serving teams, on all the serving teams, on the worship team, multiple generations. People just enjoying being together, not just tolerating each other. Such beauty, such joy. This is what God is doing.
Once again, some of us are going to miss out on that. But hear the invitation as we choose to, as a church, as a body, to keep in step with God's Spirit. Now, as I start wrapping up here, just think about what happens if we do this. I mean, Craig just shared with us earlier, and he shared even more with us as a worship team, just how HBC was a moment where he encountered not just a good time, he encountered God in a renewing, refreshing, powerful way. And you can hear it. I've heard so many stories like that, but just person to person. Imagine if this is the year, whether it's in incremental ways or in dramatic ways, every single one of us has a year where we said, God became real to me. God's presence, God's love, God's fatherhood became a reality to me. Maybe for the first time, or maybe it's been 20 years of being in the desert, but now I know God is real. You know what that does to you? You know what that does to your faith? You know what that does to you when you so-called leave the building? You know that God's Spirit goes with you and you continue being the body of Christ because it's real. What's that going to mean for the generations to come? They're going to look at all of us, including our current generations, going, we want that. And imagine we as families, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Imagine we take a stand. We're not going to be defined by culture. We're going to be defined by God's presence and God's goodness. And imagine every single one of us embraced one another in this room as the household of God. This is not just someone that I try and avoid and say, they're my brother, they're my sister. In the truest sense of the word. Generations coming together, finding ways to better express who we are as the body of Christ. Listen, if this is what God is doing, the invitation for us is to join Him. And I'm absolutely convinced He is already doing all of this. Is this going to be easy? Oh, God is doing it, so we just need to go along for the ride. No, it's not going to be easy. Is it going to be comfortable? Not always. Is it going to be predictable? Definitely not. But man, oh man, it's going to be worth it. And so just as we wrap up in prayer and we can hear our kids having a good time, let's just commit ourselves to God. And I want to invite every single one of us to adopt a posture of yes. Yes, God. I'm going to be part of the body of Riverside, joining you where you are at work. So God, we are so grateful. We don't have to come up with great ideas and ask you to bless them. You are at work. You have shown yourself to be at work. And so we as a church today, we choose to be led by you. We choose to join you. If what you are inviting us to, God, is for us to know you this year in a new and deeper way, God, I pray that that will continue to be true of every single one of us. You're softening our hearts. You're softening our defenses. You're breaking the heart of religion in us that prefers the easy way, the comfortable way. And yet, God, we know when we find life in you, it is the only way. So, God, continue blessing us as a church as we experience you in such a profound way so that all of us can say we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Lord God, I pray for our families. Those that, inverted commas, maybe look like a normal family, or maybe those that don't look typical. Those who are yearning for family, those who are grieving about family. We need you, God. We need you to strengthen faith in our families across the generations, Lord. We also need you to heal hurts and pains in families, God. God, we need to help the next generation flourish in this area and move forward with great faith and great hope. And Lord, as we think about ourselves as the household of God, the family of God,
God, help us embrace that idea. God, I know that there are too many stories of people feeling like the church has not been a place where they felt like they're coming home. The church has not felt like a family to them, God. And it breaks my heart, and I know it breaks yours, which is why we need your help. We need your Spirit that unites us to soften our hearts and give us such a deep appreciation of your love so that we have the capacity to love those around us as if they are our family. Once again, across all the generations, embracing each other, embracing time together, embracing opportunities to hear from God's word together and worship together, having the freedom, moms and dads, sons and daughters worshiping together. But we need your help. God, give us faith for what you are doing. So that once again, this is not just a sermon that challenged me or encouraged me, but this is a reality that we all walk into and start to live out. We pray for more of what you are doing, Jesus, so that we can join you.